I'm Rachel Osier Lindley, and I'll be your host this morning for Talk at 10. We're joined in the studio by Chris Ruggia. He is a graphic designer, a comic book artist, a member of the Alpine Public Library Board. But of all those many hats that he wears, we're going to talk to him today about his comics. He does a comic regularly called Jack, Adventures in Texas's Big Bend, and he's also working on some new things. And we have him here in the studio to tell us about his work. So good morning, Chris, and thanks for coming in.
Good morning. Thanks for having me back.
Well, yeah, we had you on a few years ago to talk about your comics and what you've been working on. And I kept seeing on your Facebook feed all of these great new drawings that you've been working on. So I'm excited to talk about those. But first, I want to talk about just how you first got started doing comics. You've been an artist for a long time. You're obviously good at it. What compelled you to start drawing comics?
Well, I read them when I was a child. I read them religiously through high school, and then went to art school for undergraduate and kind of let them go. And then I was doing painting and graphic design well after that. And for years and years, I focused on being a painter for 15 years or so after graduating from college. And then sort of had a meltdown, actually, creative meltdown. And I didn't do anything for several years. I just stopped painting completely, and I waited to see if there – I felt like I was only working to be working, to tell myself I was an artist. And that wasn't sufficient. And so I stopped, and I just waited to see what would come up. And gradually, I came back to comics, which I was first interested in as a child. And kind of what the form that it came up in was we're here out in the Big Bend. And as I did my graphic design work and worked with the tourism businesses and things like that, people promoting the region, I thought that, you know, the natural history of the area was very interesting, and it wasn't being an interpretation of that was a big piece. And so I thought, well, hey, here's an opportunity to give some information about what's special about the animals out here in this form that would be fun for me to do.
So Jack, your main character, he is a jackrabbit.
A black-tailed jackrabbit.
And your comics tell stories, but also, as you said, let people know about the animals in the region. The last few pages have some, of this one at least, have some information about the animals in the area, their scientific names, their habits, and you go through these stories informing people about what the animals are like, in addition to presenting a humorous and an interesting story.
Well, entertainment is the prime focus, you know. But I definitely, as I began, I read as much as I could. I investigated the scientific literature, and several different scientists. I interviewed Dr. Scuddy, the late Dr. Scuddy at Sel Ross, after he had retired early on in the process, and I got a lot of input from John Cargis of the Nature Conservancy. He, in fact, was the one who recommended the grasshopper mouse as a character to me, who's the antagonist of my first printed comic.
Yeah, so we're very familiar with this one here at KRTS. It was a favorite of Tom Michael's daughter, Fiona May. She loved this book. And the grasshopper mouse itself is a fascinating animal. I remember when Dallas Baxter recorded a Nature Notes on the grasshopper mouse. I hadn't heard of it before. And when she was done with the recording, I actually saved the tape because it's so funny. You just hear me in the background be like, oh, my gosh, that's a real animal? That's incredible. So, yeah, tell us a bit about this first book that you made, The Grasshopper Mouse, and what the story is and what we learn about the grasshopper mouse through it.
Sure. Well, that book, I actually made that book as part of a grant application that I did not receive the grant, but my main story is a serialized ongoing thing that's on my website, but I hadn't had enough to fill out a whole book at the time I was submitting the application, and so I needed a standalone story. So that The Night of the Grasshopper Mouse is a 24-page story that has its own beginning, middle, and ending. And Mel the kangaroo rat and Jack the jackrabbit are two friends who are the main protagonists of all those Jack comics. And they encounter a grasshopper mouse. And grasshopper mice are predators, unlike most small rodents. their name suggests, they mostly eat insects, and that's true. But in laboratory conditions, from what I've read, they have been known to predate upon other rodents. And so how could I not, you know, go there? One of the other things that when John Cargis was telling me about grasshopper mice is that they actually howl similar to a wolf, but it sounds like a little squeal, a tiny, like you speed up a wolf howl 8 or 9 times, and then that's what you hear. They throw their head back and howl, and that they're very shaggy and unkempt little creatures.
They're also very territorial. I remember from the Nature Nits that one grasshopper mouse can defend up to 3 acres of territory. Really, like reading about, if you were to read a description of this animal, but it not say what it was, you'd think, well, this is some sort of wolf or wild dog.
Absolutely.
But really, it is it's a kind of mouse. And I love the way that this comic book starts. We'll have some pictures of your work up on our website. But the very first page of Night of the Grasshopper Mouse has one of the mice hunched over kind of menacingly saying, "So you want to hear a scary story, eh?" And it goes on to describe the story of the grasshopper mouse and how it is even more scary, I guess, to the mice than an owl might be.
Possibly. Yeah, when I had the idea of a mouse that ate other mice, just Scooby-Doo came to mind. And so that was kind of the inspiration of this. The scary parts. I actually got a review on a comics blog of that particular book, and they were giving me credit for being influenced by the old Hammer horror films and things like that, when in fact, no, I was at least a step removed from those.
More Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we're talking with Alpine resident and comic book artist Chris Ruggia about his Jack comics, which you can find on his website. What's that website?
JackComics.com.
JackComics.com, and you serialize the comics on there. You also have a few books that you've put together that are available in some places in Alpine at the Murphy Street Rospa Company.
Yes.
And they're also available at the bookstore
at Front Street Books. Mm-hmm. And then the Night of the Grasshopper Mouse specifically is also at CDRI between Alpine and Fort Davis, and at Panther Junction in Big Bend National Park.
And, you know, wearing your other hat, your Alpine Public Library Board hat, there's actually an event going on right now at the Alpine Public Library having to do with comics, and it has another area comic book artist. I was wondering if you could share that information with our listeners, because if they want to register, they have to pretty much do it tomorrow.
They do. It actually started yesterday. Cheryl Francis has been in and around Alpine for quite some time, and she's has a folk art kind of style, but she's also done several comics of her own. She did several issues of a series documenting her experiences in the Peace Corps. But Tuesdays and Thursdays for 3 weeks, starting yesterday, which would have been the 31st of August, she's doing a graphic novel workshop where it's for ages 11 and up. There's not really a top age. Each participant will design a character and do a 2-page story, and then at the end of the 6 weeks, they'll print all the spreads together into a book.
And when is that during the day?
Oh, it's from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And so, yeah, if anybody wants to participate, they'll really want to get over to the library tomorrow, August 2nd, at 2 p.m. Much later than that, and they'll kind of be too far behind, I think.
And you participated in the workshop yesterday.
Yeah, I talked a little bit about character design and how, a lot of people, when they're starting to try to draw comics, it's a really intimidating idea to be able to draw the same creature or the same person again and again and again and have it look the same. So I tried to reassure everyone that it doesn't have to be perfect. The main thing is just that you can tell. And so we talked about different ways to, you know, the head shape or how you draw the eyes or the what I call the hair code, you know. As long as you can tell that they're different, the reader will follow right along with you.
What is the hair code?
That's just what I call it. At a certain point, I would draw people that I knew but with only their hair. And it was amazing. If it's a small enough group, it's remarkably easy to tell who it is, yeah. And so it's a strong identifier visually.
So you're teaching people a little bit how to get started in comics. And I mean, I agree with you. Starting in comics is very intimidating. I, of course, am not an artist, but you were a painter. and you wanted to get involved in this world of comics because you loved reading comics. But it seems like a very big step and a huge way to change your thinking to do comic books. You have to come up with a story, but you also have to lay out these storyboards and then do the drawings. So there seems to be so much planning that needs to be done before you sit down and start working on a page. So I can see how it's intimidating, and I'm curious how you, coming from fine art painting, were able to start in comics.
Well, I'd always had kind of a cartoony style, and it was the hardest part for me, honestly, was giving myself permission in a way to write a story. I'd never done that. I'd always, most people, and I was certainly in this group, would think about, oh, I'll make a comic that is about this, or, and I would tell myself a story in very vague terms, but actually sitting down and saying, okay, this happens, then this happens. And what really helped was actually taking a writing workshop with Dawn Truk when she was in town. And that experience, and I just did thumbnail versions, really scribbled versions of my comic, and that's what, just having somebody else expecting me to do it. And once mm-hmm. I did that, that got me over the hump, and I could actually start making the stories. After that, visually telling the stories is really challenging because every element, it has to be very clear what's going on. The panels have to flow visually one to the next. And then the pages have to flow nicely together. So when you're drawing a picture, you're making a single composition, right? And a panel has those same qualities. And then a set of panels and a page and a spread, each of those get composed in a similar way. And so it's almost fractal. You keep go down farther and farther, and there's the same challenges up and down.
So in developing the story, how long, actually, I forgot to ask this, how long specifically have you been working on these Jack comics?
I started the website with mm-hmm. the first episode in January of 2005.
Okay.
And I was monthly, and that's each episode of my main story is a dense page. A standard comic book page might have 4 to 8 panels, and my main story pages will have a dozen to up to 16. So it's a heavy page, and each one needs to function as a whole chapter. And so I was doing one of those a month. That was my goal. I'm nowhere near that now.
Well, we have your most recent one up now on the Marfa Public Radio website. And you were talking about the characters earlier, Mel and Jack, the two main characters. And I'm curious how you developed these guys. Also, I'm going to put this on the website. I've been flipping through this while listening to you talk, and there is just a half a page of mice in a fist fight. And it's just gorgeous.
I am so proud of that, actually, because that's back to John Cargis again. He gave me like the Proceedings of the Society of Mammalogists. And there's a book just on kangaroo rats. And one of the articles in that book, with all of these different journal articles, was a description. They fight over seed caches and over burrows. But particularly, they steal seeds from each other because they hoard seeds, and then they try and steal them from each other, and they have specific fighting. They observed, apparently, kangaroo rats are really easy to observe. I don't know why, but there's a lot of literature about them. And so one of those articles was exactly how they moved. What were the moves they made when they fought? And so they choreographed my page for me. So all of the little moves that happened, one mouse kicks sand at the other one, and that's what they do. And then they sort of hop back and forth and jockey for position, kind of like boxing, and then they punch in a flurry of little blows with their front paws. And so I was able to just and kind of leapfrogging, jumping at each other. So I just drew it as they wrote it.
So scientifically accurate, but also with a jab, slap, pow that you would right. that you would expect from a comic book. Well, all right. Well, before I got distracted by this this gorgeous mouse, kangaroo rat, rather, fist fight, I was asking you about developing these characters. So we're at the point in your story where you decided to start working on comics. You took a writing workshop, and now you're trying to get things out on the page, and you're developing these characters.
I did a lot of research. Jack is, in a lot of ways, when somebody starts writing, their main character is often a version of themselves, and often it's a version of themselves that's a comfortable version of themselves. And so that's sort of what Jack is to me, is like, he's inoffensive, he's polite, he's, and I needed Jack because he very implausibly has been transported by people from the Gulf Coast, which I love. It's another biosphere that I adore, you know, out to the desert. And so it's very different, but also a place where black-tailed jackrabbits occur. But that gives me somebody who's not from here mm-hmm. to ask questions and to get answers. And that way, it gives me a way through the story to deliver information. And so that's kind of Jack's purpose in from beginning. And then Mel was the first other creature he encountered. And so I read, there was a lot to read about kangaroo rats. And one of the things that I learned early on is that the small rodent is kind of the biomass that the one of the smallest creatures that everybody else eats. All the other mammals and herps, for that matter, they feed off of the high numbers of small rodents. And so I was thinking, okay, what character traits come to mind as I'm reading, doing this research?
Skittish,
but also perhaps a persecution complex. And so Mel is something of a conspiracy theorist, and he tends to interpret things in these big terms, like all the predators are together trying to keep the rodent down.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you wouldn't want to be a rodent in West Texas.
No.
I guess is the takeaway from that.
That's right.
So additionally, you have these Jack comics, you have them up on your website, and you've been working on something new, and you brought, this is really amazing, you brought some of these original pages that you you did, and this is a new character that you're working on, Kelpie. So tell me about Kelpie, and we'll post some of these original storyboard photos up on our website.
Sure. Well,
Why did you want to work on a new character? Were you just sick for water?
No. Well, I do love the water, but no, actually, I really try to limit the side projects I take on because Jack, the main story, does have an end, and I'm actually not that far from it in terms of actual episodes, and so my wife Ellen really helps me to keep a lid on no more side projects until we're this far along. But I get tempted because it's not that I get tired of Jack, but you know, I always want to do something new. And so a guy who actually invited me to submit a comic, another side project to his anthology he was doing, he approached me with a script. And ordinarily, somebody approaches me with a story, it's just like, I don't have the time. I need to work on my own comic. But I had a track record with this guy, and the script that he gave me, it was like a, you know, good news, bad news is the structure. You know, like the first page is the good news was, you know, Kelpie dreamt of travel, and so our little otter is asleep, and the big dream thought balloon above him has him swimming with dolphins in the Caribbean. And then the next page is, but the bad news was he also dreamt of sharks, and so same layout, but he's having a bad dream, and all the dolphins have turned into sharks, and he's freaking out in the water. And then we move on to the good news was he felt safe in his homemade boat, and then so he's, and it goes from there. And it's good news, bad news throughout the story. But it's just wacky where it goes. And it turned out, I learned after I agreed to take on the project, that it started in a book that Troy Wilson is the writer, that he wrote in first grade, and. So Kelpie goes out on the open sea in his little homemade boat and encounters pirates. The captain of the pirates, for some reason, is a butterfly, but he's a mean butterfly, and that's the bad news because he's a pirate, you know. And then a whale eats him and the pirates, and in the end he gets beamed up by aliens that are shark aliens. No, but the good news is that they're actually, we're just otter aliens that were disguised as sharks. And, you know, it was just so ridiculous and sounded like fun to draw. So.
It sounds like something from the mind of a first grader. But
yeah.
you make it look so you make it look beautiful.
Well, thank you.
Was it challenging to move from drawing desert animals to aquatic animals?
Water's intimidating, mm-hmm. I gotta say, you know, to draw, but not really. Otters are fun to look at, and they were pretty fun to draw too.
They're definitely one of my top three favorite animals,
right.
I have to say.
Well, this is a river otter, and that mm-hmm. was one of my big questions. You know, is this a river otter or a sea otter? I started doing my research. It's like they look very different. And so we decided it's a river otter because he's out of place on the open sea.
Mm-hmm. So, we're talking now with Chris Ruggia. He is an Alpine resident and comic book artist. You can I'm definitely going to photograph some of these original pages, and you can find them on our website a little bit later today. That's marfapublicradio.org. He's talking to us about some of his comic projects, past, present, and future. And also, as you mentioned, there is that comic, graphic novel, rather, workshop that'll be at the Alpine Public Library. It started yesterday. It's running Tuesdays and Thursdays for 3 weeks. So if you're interested in joining up in that, you can go to the Alpine Public Library tomorrow. It's from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. It's ages 11 and up. And as you said, there is no upward limit for who they'll accept in the class.
You just have to want to draw some comics.
And you said that you were going to do another session. You worked with the group yesterday, but you're also going to go back and do another session with the class.
Yeah, on Tuesday I'll be back there. I would have loved to done every single session, but I just couldn't take that much time away from work.
Well, we just had a caller who called in, and they said that they recently saw a fox outside their window, and then they had forgotten that we had foxes in this area, but then recalled that they had learned that originally from one of your comics.
Oh,
do you know?
Wow.
Do you know what comic they're talking about?
The first part of the main story has a kit fox. Now the fox they saw was probably a gray fox,
mm-hmm.
Or a red fox, I suppose. I think they're both native out here. And kit foxes are much smaller and they have much larger ears. In fact, the ears
that sounds adorable.
I know the ears on my cartoon kit fox are not even big enough. I would unconsciously make them more normal looking, but they're immense ears. So they can hear very well and run really fast, and they're completely nocturnal. And kit foxes, they love to eat kangaroo rats. And in fact, their range is largely determined by the presence or absence of kangaroo rats. So once again, how could I not go there in my story once I had a kangaroo rat?
I really like that you, as a comic book artist, felt like you needed to make the animal look a little bit less cartoony than it looks in real life.
It was unconscious. And it happens over time. And in fact, my jackrabbit doesn't really look like a jackrabbit. My first character design looked even less so. And I had actually got 4 or 5 episodes in. And then we spent a couple nights down in Big Bend camping near Paint Gap. And there were a lot of jackrabbits around. And I realized I had to start from scratch. And so I redid the character design. And then over time, he proportioned a bit more like a dog than a rabbit, actually. And Ellen will point this out to me, but he's that way now. It's how he comes out of the pencil, so there's not a lot I can do about it.
We also had another caller. Thanks, folks, for calling in today. Yes, they mentioned that they know a dung beetle expert in the area who lives in Marfa, and they would be interested in hooking y'all up because that might be a good new character for your comics.
I
would read a comic about a dung beetle.
Yeah, so would I. I wonder if they're going to be doing the CDRI lecture later this summer.
We can call them after the show today.
I'm tentatively planning on being there, but I often can't make it because we get too busy.
Well, I am really loving these original pages that you have in various states of completion, and we'll go out there and take some photos to put up on the website after the interview. But real quick, we're almost out of time. But what do you have planned next for your work?
Well, I'm going to keep on making Jack episodes. You probably noticed if you go to the website that the most recent episode is months and months ago because I started working on Kelpie, and so I try and do them all at the same time. But on October 6th, I'll be the Friends of the Ector County Library are doing their first ever book festival in Odessa. They're calling it the Books in the Basin. And I submitted an application and was accepted into the festival. So I'll be at that event on October 6th. And then I do my best to keep drawing. I try to get a minimum of 15 minutes a day. And if I get too busy, I don't even get that. But I'm amazed what will actually occur in 15 minutes every day. So I'll keep doing that, and we'll try and get Kelpie done and get back to Jack as quick as I can.
And as we mentioned earlier, you're a graphic designer. You have your own company in Alpine. You're on the Alpine Public Library Board. So you're a busy guy, and I'm impressed that you're able to carve out the 15 minutes to do these comics. And I love the results. I love the work and the stories. And I'm really glad we got to talk a little bit today about your comics.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, good luck to you in the future, and I look forward to seeing many more Jack adventures, and I'm excited to see what happens to Kelpie in the end.
And I should mention that, I mean, you had approached me about the interview because of my little posts on Facebook. And mm-hmm. so I do put sketches and process drawings periodically. So if folks are out at jackcomics.com, they can get from there to that Facebook page and see some more recent stuff.
Yeah, Chris posts his drawings in progress, and it's been great to look at some of those, and now in this binder you brought in, see the completed pages. Well, we've been talking today with Chris Ruggia. He is a comic book artist, and he does Jack Comics. You can go to jackcomics.com, as you said, to see more of those. And thank you so much for joining us today.
I really appreciate it, Rachel.
Yeah, thanks. I'm Rachel Lindley, and this has been Talk at 10. Remember, if you missed any part of this interview and would like to hear more with Chris, we'll be replaying it at 6:30 this evening, as we do with all of our Talk at 10 morning interviews. And you can find any one of our episodes from any time archived on our website. We have them all archived as podcasts. Just visit Marfa Public Radio, and there's a Talk at 10 button up there at the top of the site, so you can look at all of our archived Talk at 10s from almost the beginning of time.